Hallelujah. Oh, what a joy it is to be alive in Christ. Hallelujah. No greater life, no better life. This is life. Life in the kingdom. I trust you've had a blessed couple of days, and you're enjoying your walk and relationship with Jesus. It's the best it's ever been, and will only get better for the glory of God. Amen. All right. May sound like I'm a little bit out of breath. I don't think I am, but I could be. Hallelujah. All right. You all look good out there. Praise God. Are you hungry? What are you hungry for? Oh, praise God. Amen. All right. Well, let's dive into it. Let's get ready to get some offering baskets up here. And then let's dive into it. I had in mind one passage of scripture, but I think the Holy Ghost wants us to go somewhere else. And that's Romans chapter 4. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Children, are you going to be dismissed? Hey, let's get Sister Diana. She slipped out of here on Sunday. She slipped. If she didn't have pink on tonight, I probably would have overlooked her. But as soon as she stood up. Amen. Let's get her. She thought she got away with it. We sing happy birthdays afterwards, too. Sunday was her birthday. She turned sweet 16. And praise God. So anyway, she got out of here before we could sing to her. And we're not letting her get out tonight. So ready? On the count of three. One, two, three, go. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you. Singing happy, happy, happy birthday. Ooh, happy, happy, happy birthday to you. Singing happy, happy, happy birthday to you. You look good. You look fine. You look good, you look fine. Hope you had a blessed time. You look good, you look fine. You look good, you look fine. Hope you had a blessed time. Happy, 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 happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Diana. I think she gets more excited about her birthday in Jesus than her regular birthday. Praise God. All right. Well, go ahead and bring your offerings up. And honor and reverence the Lord. Praise God. Pastor Lucia is not with us tonight. She's with family members out in Vacaville. Her dad, they had to rush into the hospital. But he's back home now, so praise God. So, Father, we thank you for moving quickly. Raising him up. May healing, full healing manifest in his body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4. And the writer, the Apostle Paul, who is known as a wise master builder in his day, a great architect used by Jesus, who once was a building wrecker of the kingdom of God and then became a wise master builder in the kingdom. It just shows that God can and will use anybody who will make themselves available. It's usually the hard ones that he's able to use more effectively. When you live a hard life, a difficult life, whether it's been on the streets, whether it's been crime-filled, or just, you know, a difficult person to get along in life, one who's committed many trespasses, if you will, Jesus says it like this. when he was speaking to Simon the Pharisee. And he says, "You, because you've been forgiven of little, you love little. But because she's been forgiven of much, she loves much." And the Apostle Paul, he understood that his sin before God was wicked out of ignorance. He didn't know what he was doing. But with all of his might, he tried to tear down what he thought man and the devil was trying to build up. And he was trying to defend his God. He was trying to defend the law of Moses. He was trying to defend what he had been raised up in. And in the process, he was tearing down actually what God was building in the land, and that was his kingdom through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so once he got set straight off of that road to Damascus in those 3 days or so being blind, and Ananias coming to lay hands on him and him recovering his sight, then for like 14 years, I believe it was, he just, you know, after he met with some of the apostles, he just went to, I think it was Arabia or somewhere, and God really dealt with him, and he just preached what he knew, and then he came back, and when he came back, he was uncompromising, and he was on fire for Jesus. I'll just put it like that. He began to build the church, and God began to give him revelations that he gave to no other, revelations that even made Peter say, some of the things that Paul is saying is hard to understand. But God was just giving him such deep revelations that Paul said the Lord had to give him a thorn in his side to humble him because of the abundance of revelations that God was giving him. And through it all, he said he became a wise master builder in building up the body. Hallelujah. There were some things that Paul taught, and a lot of it had to do with the traditions of men. Some of it had to do with order in the church. And the Apostle Paul was like this: if it's going to hinder the moving of God, change. Because he wanted nothing to limit the power of God operating in the midst of the people. And if there were quarrels or traditions or patterns that were a stumbling block, he would say, get rid of those things, such as men with long hairs. Like, if that's a problem, you know, we say, you know, don't have no long hair. I'm not saying it because of Brother Kwame. So Sister Tika, leave him alone. She's like, I told you to cut your hair this week. And not even saying that. I used to have hair as long as Kwame. Believe it or not, it's hard to believe. Praise God. But it's okay. But, you know, if it was something like, if it's a woman preaching in church, something as simple as with her head uncovered, if you will. If it was, you know, he says, I don't let a woman teach a man. And so, you know, you can take that at face value, and I think you'll miss the point of what he was saying. But he did whatever was necessary for the growth of the church, even with the church of Corinth, full of the spiritual gifts. They came lacking in none. He taught them about the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, prophecies, discernment of spirits, tongues, and the interpretations thereof. He helped to teach them about it, but they were already flowing in it, if you will. And so even in that, he had to bring order, because it's like, you know, you can go ahead and prophesy all you want to, but if you don't have love, you're just making a whole lot of noise. You can, you know, you can feed the poor and feed the hungry, but if you don't have love, you're just, you know, sounding brass and clanging cymbals. You're missing it, if you will. And then he said, I'll teach you a more excellent way in operating in the gifts, and that is through love, because love always seeks to edify. And so he did what was necessary to build a strong, solid, vibrant church to affect change in the world, to let the world know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so in this teaching in Romans chapter 4, he uses Abraham, the patriarch, and we've covered this passage before. It's not like it's necessarily new, but I believe the Holy Ghost wants to draw our attention to something as we go over these passages. This was good. Thank you, Brother Finn. Can I have some more, please? Father, thank you. Let's stretch forth our hands towards the offering. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the offering tonight. Thank you for every person that gave. Thank you for those who have that heart and desire to give, but they don't have the means. Lord God, we pray for a release of finances in their lives so that they can participate in this part of worship as well, that none would be left out, but all would be able to come before you and bring you an offering in obedience, bringing our tithes, offerings, and gifts of love to you. For Lord, you are Lord of all. You are Lord of all. We keep nothing back from you and present everything to you. So command the blessing on the offering tonight. Multiply it, Father. Bring increase, Lord. For there is much more in store. There is much more that lies ahead that we must accomplish in your name for your glory. So we pray for increase. I pray for supernatural increase. I speak it over the offerings tonight, and I speak it over your sons and daughters that are in this house. I pray for supernatural increase, supernatural favor, Lord God, not just to say the words, but true meaning and significance of it, Father. Supernatural increase that can only be explained by the power of Almighty God. Father, release the blessing of the Lord upon your sons and daughters in a greater measure to a greater degree. Lord, that while we hold our substance in our hand, it increases. As our Savior Jesus with the fish and the loaves, when he held it up to bless it, it was multiplied. By the time he brought it down and started distributing to the disciples, it was able to feed the multitudes and they had more left over. Father, that kind of a miracle, that kind of an increase, that kind of a blessing upon your sons and daughters. And I rebuke the devourer, and I rebuke doubt, and I rebuke fear in the name of Jesus, and release faith in this house, Lord God, that you may prosper each and every one of your sons and daughters. That we not only are able to provide for our home as good stewards over what you have blessed us with, but we're also able to be a blessing to others. That we're able to honor you with what honors you, Lord God. And that none of our seed is devoured by the enemy. No locust, no cankerworm, no crawling worm, no devouring worm. None of those things, Lord God, are able to interfere with what you're doing in our lives. I pray for a protective shield, a covering, Lord God, a wall of fire around every one of your sons and daughters, that everything you bless us with, the enemy cannot touch. Because you commanded the blessing on our lives, what you have blessed, no one can curse. They may try, but it will fail. And we will give you all the glory. So command the blessing now in Jesus' name. We command increase over each and every one of our lives. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor and all the thanks in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And everybody who agrees, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Oh, just join in and just say, I command the blessing over my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. You may be seated. What shall we say then? Romans chapter 4, verse 1. That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. What was it that Abraham discovered? What we know is when we think about Abraham's life and what he how he came to be Abraham, born in a pagan family, born with heathen relatives, but nevertheless, God called him out, singled him out of the land of Chaldee, And God simply said to him, come out from among them. Come into a place that I will show you. And then said, in blessing, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What if you woke up one day and God said that to you in a way in which you could hear him audibly? We are heirs of Abraham through Christ Jesus. We're not heirs by kinship in the sense of coming from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the 12 patriarchs of tribes of children of Israel. But we are of him through faith. Abraham became known as a friend of God. Abraham became known as the father of many nations. He went from Abram, exalted one, to Abraham, father of many nations and father of the faith. There were those who grew up under the law of Moses. They were those who grew up under the covenants that God established with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob, and they were blessed as a result of it. Even though they had to go into Egyptian bondage and captivity for 430 years, 30 years during the life of Joseph, 400 years after Joseph died and they were in slavery. There was a Pharaoh that grew up or came into power that did not know or recognize Joseph, and therefore he put the children of Israel in bondage. He says there's too many of them. They might side with the enemy and they may come against us, so we're going to put them in bondage. And that's exactly what they did, but they couldn't do anything that God didn't already reveal and know about ahead of time. Because 430 years prior, God told Abraham, this is what's going to happen to the people. And I'm sure Abraham passed it down. Passed it down to Isaac, passed it down to Jacob. Jacob passed it down to his 12 sons, letting them know that these things are going to happen. They didn't fully understand it, but nevertheless, it came to pass. We know about the life of Joseph and how Joseph's brothers hated him because he was his father's favorite. Isn't it awesome that we're all God's favorite? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So his brothers hated him because he was God's favorite. And we know that they sold him into Egyptian slavery, sold him to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites sold him into Egypt. And he spent, you know, from the time of 17 years old, 13 years in prison, and then finally exalted to the place to where now the dreams that he saw became a reality before him. He stands in the place of Pharaoh, second in command. Whatever he says goes. Everybody has to come through him. And then he sees how God is faithful over his word, that even when his father dies and his brothers think, well, now surely he's going to come at us. Surely he's going to get even with us. And he's like, no, 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 no. You meant this for evil, but God meant this for good. And it's just teaching us about the life of a believer in the kingdom of our God and our Christ. We might go through something where people might be taking advantage of us, and they sure enough may mean it for evil, but God means it for good. God's hand is on you. Hallelujah. Nothing but good can come out of whatever goes on in your life, so God's hand is on you. You know, that's easier said than done, but if we just keep it in mind, we'll enjoy the ride of it being done. Somehow, this mess is going to turn around. God's going to get some glory, and I'm going to get the blessing. Hallelujah. It's got to turn around. It's just a principle. It's something that happens in the lives of the sons and daughters of the Most High God. So with Joseph being thrown into prison and being lied upon and, gosh, first of all, thrown in the pit, then thrown in the prison, And then he goes to the palace, and there he is. He's in command. And so even with Joseph, as I was reading in the scriptures, and it's like, man, that is something. Holding on to the promises, understanding that one day God, because the message was passed down from generation to generation, knowing that one day God's going to deliver us out of Egypt. And he said, and when he does, make sure y'all take my bones out with you. I don't even want my bones in Egypt. Isn't that awesome? That's our God, and that's our lineage. And so Joseph gets, of course, he dies, and children of Israel go through all of that bondage and slavery. And then God raises up a Moses. And with Moses, he delivers the children of Israel. So this Abraham that God established this covenant with discovered something that we all have to discover for ourselves. And I'm not saying that you don't know it, but I just want to reemphasize it. Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Let me read this to you from the Message translation real quick. And it reads, so how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of living, of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. Ah, just go ahead and look at your neighbor and say it ain't even about you. Woo, praise God, it ain't even about you. Hallelujah. It's a God story. Your life is a God story. Hallelujah. Your life is a God story. It's all about what God did when he got a hold of you. You got into purpose. You got into the reason for being alive, the reason for being here. It's now a God story. Your life is not about what you accomplished on your own, but now what God did through you. And God always calls us to do something greater than what we're capable of doing ourselves so that he may get the glory. He ain't going to call us to do something that we're capable of doing. Because you don't need him for that. And then you justify yourself by all of the things that you did. No, he's calling us to something deeper, something greater, something higher that we're incapable of doing. Start with our salvation. We can't save ourselves. Praise God. No matter how good we are, going back to what Jesus said to Simon the Pharisee, he who is forgiven much loves much. He who is forgiven little loves little. In other words, if you think, well, you know, I had it all together anyway, so I did God a favor when I came to him. You know, you're going to have some cheap love for God. And some people have that kind of mindset and attitude. But if, on the other hand, you acknowledge who you are and how much God needed to save you, and by his grace and mercy, because you still cannot comprehend and understand why he's so good to you. This is what happens when you understand, because you've been forgiven of much, therefore you love much. I know what I was apart from him, and I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. Even now, after being in the Lord for 31 years, thankful for all that he's doing. Hallelujah. Don't deserve a nickel of it. So this is what Abraham to say, man, my daddy was worshiping the gods. My mama was worshiping the gods. Everybody in my family was worshiping the gods. And God called me out of that mess. Praise God. Look at it. We're not talking about family members, but for some of us, we like the, you know, we're like the odd one in the family. Nobody can really understand us. You can look at it and say, we're the misfits. We fit nowhere but here. We tried it in other places and it didn't work. But God called Abraham out. Now, Abraham had a couple of brothers, I believe. Nahor was one, or maybe Nahor was the only brother. But he didn't call Nahor out. He called Abraham. All God needs is one to begin with. And then he can work through that one and get to the others. So you just let God have his perfect work in you, because it's not about you. It's not about the Abraham work. It's about the God work. I just use preacher man. He won't get offended or anything. It's not about the preacher man work. Boy, loaded down with gifts and abilities. But it ain't about that. It's about the God work. It's what God does in and through him. And as talented and as gifted as he is, God calls him to something higher than what he could accomplish on his own that will require his help. And so therefore, it's the God work. Hallelujah. It's not what we can accomplish ourselves. That's why grace comes in. God gives us grace and favor to help and assist us to do what he's commissioning and not what we can do in and of ourselves. Because what we can do in and of ourselves, we claim credit for. And we don't get no credit in this walk. We just give the glory to God and enjoy the ride. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. So, but the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. What we read in Scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him, and that was the turning point. He wasn't doing his own thing. When God called him, he came out and did God's thing. He came out, and he didn't know where he was going. God just said, come to a land that I'll show you. Okay? So, I'm leaving. He tells his dad, and Terah, his dad says, I'm going. So Terah comes out with him. And then Lot comes out with him. And he's already automatically taken Sarai with him. And they just go. And then Terah dies, and then Abraham keeps on going because God is leading him. And Lot follows. God's got his hands on Abraham. I want to go with you. I ain't staying here. I'm going with you. I see something here. So he goes on this journey, and he don't know where he's going. And saints, sometimes you don't have to know everything. That's why this is a faith walk. And if we feel like we got to know everything, every detail about what God is doing, we're going to miss God, because it does not require faith if you have all of the details. Sometimes in the details, if God tells us everything that's going to happen, we're not going because I ain't going through that. I ain't going there. He put me over there. You know, God may have me doing something. No. He can't show us everything because we'll be afraid. Look at the children of Israel as they're coming out of Egypt. It says that the Lord didn't lead them that easy route that was right there, because if they would have saw battle and war, they would have came back immediately. But God took them a roundabout way and then had them faced with the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh and his army behind them. God's dealing with their fear and about to deal with their adversary. So when Pharaoh's coming, they all start crying, and Moses is like, what are we going to do? And God said, what's in your hand? What are we going to do? What's in your hand? A rod. Stretch it out. And we know what happens. But Abraham entered into what God was doing for him. And that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. And that goes to a whole nother thing concerning our salvation and our walk. We can't save ourselves. As a matter of fact, we can't even walk this walk without him. We might think we can. But even good morals won't help. It takes the power of God's Spirit working on the inside of us, leading us in the direction he wants us to go. Hallelujah. We know when we're in charge because some things start to come out of us that we know are not of God. But if we let Jesus be in charge, if we let the Holy Ghost lead us where God wants us to go, we just enjoy the ride. It's just, you know, God, you got to do this. As a matter of fact, listen to this. How many of you want more of God? Let's see a show of hands. Okay. All right, I saw your hand, Jeremiah. I saw your hand. Eyes are on you. No, don't put it down. Keep it up. That's a good thing. Do you know, in your desire, or you put your hands down, I believe that what we're saying is, Lord, increase in our lives. More of your presence, more of your strength, more of your leading, more of your guidance. Just more of you operating in this vessel. Do you know that can't happen unless God does it? Hallelujah. What he did for the children of Israel is what he has to do to us too. The scripture says he bore us on wings as eagles and brought us to himself. When God's first thing in bringing the children of Israel out, when he told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my people go that they may come out and worship me. So that was the first thing. God wanted to bring them to himself. Pharaoh hardened his heart through a series of events, 10 plagues that came upon Egypt. Pharaoh finally said, okay, go. And God brought them out to himself. You have the desire, but God's got to make it happen. And all we have to do is be willing. So we pray, Lord, this is what we desire. And God says, okay. And then he starts to do it. We try and do it in our own strength, and we fall short. It's like trying to uphold the law. Okay, today, thou shalt have no other God before me. Got that one. Thou shalt not lie. Oops. My boss asked me, what time did I come to work? I told him I came to work at 5 minutes to 7. Actually, I came at 5 minutes after 7. I lied. So we miss it. And we don't just miss one. So it's not like we get a 90% because we miss one and we got 9 right. It's like, no, failure. So if we miss it at one point, we miss it in the whole thing. So we can't do it in our own strength. And that's what God teaches us. This is what we discover in Abraham. We can't do this in our own strength. God has to do it, but we have to have that desire for it. When we recognize that we can't, which is what the law brings us to, that we can't justify ourselves. So when we recognize within ourselves that we can't, but we have that desire, and then we call upon him, and then he then brings us to that place. 2 plus 2 is? Walking it out is the difficult part. Recognizing it, understanding it is easy. But then we have to let him. And it's like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? I just want you to spend time in my presence. Okay. And then we give him a wish list of everything we want. And he's like, no, I just want you to spend time. But if I don't talk, you don't know. I already know what you have need of even before you ask me. So, you know, there'll be a time to ask me, and then there'll be a time to just wait in my presence. Why? Because I will transform you. I'll let you feel and sense my presence. And at the sensing of my presence, it'll produce such a change within you. All I got to do is touch you. and you'll be changed forever. All he had to do was breathe on the door, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And they were marked for the Holy Ghost. All he had to do was the centurion servant. Lord, I recognize you are a man under authority. Because I'm a man under authority. Well, I recognize you have authority. I'm a man under authority. I tell one to go here, he goes there. I tell one to go there, he goes there. I tell one to come here, he comes. So I recognize authority. So I'm not worthy of you coming to my house, but just speak the word. And so all he had to do was speak the word. Now, if that's all he had to do and the servant was made whole, imagine what he can do with just a moment in his presence, the manifested presence of God, in the place where you're at, and he just touches you. Or he just gives you a word. He just, all of a sudden, the reality of his presence gets addicting. Lord, I want to pray more. Okay. But you got to start by praying. The desire is there. Now I'm going to draw you to myself. I'm going to give you reasons to pray. Praise God. And as we comply with what he's doing, we experience the results. And that's all by grace. Stand to your feet. We're out of time, but not out of word. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. If you're a hard worker and do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift. But if you see that the job is too big for you, that it's something only God can do, and you trust him to do it, you could never do it for yourself, no matter how hard and long you worked. Well, that trusting him to do it is what gets you set right with God by God, sheer gift. Isn't that wonderful? That's just awesome. Hallelujah. Lord, everything I desire in you and everything you desire for me, that's what I want. And I can't do it, but you can. And he's like, yes. And so everything becomes a gift, rather than the works that we do to try and obtain a certain thing, because we'll fall short. We'll fall short and we'll start being frustrated. We get frustrated, we get discouraged, then we want to give up. We want to give up because we don't see no results. But our God is a God who gets results. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the preciousness of your word. Thank you for the scripture that speaks to our hearts tonight. Lord, everything that we desire of you, you are able to do, well able to do. So, Father, have your way. Make us into who you would have us to be. Father, we desire to be those fishers of men. We desire, Lord God, to have evangelism at the forefront of our hearts. We desire to see your kingdom enlarge, begin to increase. We desire to be fruitful, and you are the one that can make us fruitful. Father, we desire, as your word says, the things that you give richly to enjoy. Make it happen, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and give you praise. I cover everyone in this place in the precious blood of the Lamb, and I pray that you watch over them. See them safely to their destinations, those who left earlier as well as those who are here. See them safely to their destination. Let no evil befall them, no plague come near them, and no hurt, harm, or danger come their way. But guide them safely, I pray. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of Abba Father and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost be multiplied, increased in each and every one of your lives. May the Lord our God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. May the name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not triumph over you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you are the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. Foundation, mainstay, prop, and support of the truth. May the Lord bless you mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Receive his gift. Hallelujah.